Everybody, welcome to Watch What Crap Is, a podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karen from TrashTalkTV.com, and I'm with Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. Hello, Benjamin.
Well, hello.
And we're also here with Matt Whitfield of Yahoo TV. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, guys. The gang is all back.
This is the first time in a long time that we are all back here in one place. So thank God. It's hard doing it with just one of you. No offense. But I like to zone out a lot and, like, stare out the window and just, like, wonder about things while you guys talk. And it's hard to have to talk the whole time.
Threesomes are better, but everybody should know that by now.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we are doing this live on YouTube. You can find us on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theTVClick, or we talk crap with everybody who's listening live on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also tweet us questions at whatcrappens. You can find Ben on all of the social media, including Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Facebook, at B-Side Blog, and you can find Matt at all the social media blah blahs at Life on the Endless, and you can find me, Ronnie, on Twitter at Ronnie Karam, or on YouTube /TrashTalkTV, TEEVEE. So let's get to talking, y'alls. What'd you watch this week?
I'm obsessed with the Nini spinoff, dare I say.
Well, actually, before we start talking shows, why don't we talk about some gossip, because a lot of it is going on this week.
Can we please start with the rumor that Gretchen is officially out of OC?
Yes.
Yes, please.
I was thinking about that this morning. Oddly enough, I woke up thinking about that, which is a really bad sign for me that I wake up thinking about Gretchen Rossi. But I was thinking that getting rid of Gretchen is a big move, even though her storyline has sucked and Slade sucks and Slade has brought her down and Slade has been the demise of Gretchen. Getting rid of Gretchen is a big deal because, you know what, so much of the drama of the past few seasons, especially the reunion, has been fueled by Tamra hitting on Gretchen. And now we don't have that anymore.
Well, guess what, Tamra? Your spinoff sucked, bitch. So I would rather watch Gretchen and Slade get married than you.
Yeah. Do you think they're really
going to get rid of her? Oh, my God. Really, Tamra's spinoff is terrible. She should never try to be a nice person.
She should. The only spinoff... What?
Yes. She's already telling people, she's already telling, like, friends. People are telling me on Twitter that she is saying that it was her decision, that she's decided to go in her own way or Russian? Whatever, and that she really didn't get fired, but...
Oh, please. Her own way? Please.
Yeah.
She doesn't have her own way. Like, if she leaves OC, there's nothing left for her to do. The only possible thing for her to do, the only other direction she should go into is if HGTV offered her a show where she can find the most rooster art at TJ Maxx and Steinmark.
That's too... HGTV is way too highbrow for that shit.
I don't know the Game Dino show, but they probably learned their lesson on that one.
They're like, okay, Gretchen, here's what we want you to do. We want you to find as many fake patisserie items as you can find as possible.
We want a poster with Paris spelled in every different language.
Yeah.
Paris.
We're giving you 60 seconds to come to find as many candlesticks as possible. The more ornate, the better.
Okay, questions. Are we going to have a problem if Alexis leaves the show? I don't think that is going to be a big deal.
No.
Some of the reports this week were saying that Alexis was already on the chopping block for this past season, but at the last minute, one other housewife had to pull out, so they just tossed Alexis back in. I'm convinced she's definitely a goner, and it won't be a problem. If Gretchen leaves, it will be a problem.
Yeah,
yes, well, I agree. And there was also another... You first.
I was just going to say, Gretchen's just gotten so stale. I can't imagine what they would be able to eke out of her for another season.
Well, if all these other bitches are going to get married on Bravo, why not her?
Too late. I think we're all done with all these marriages, especially after Real Housewives of Miami, which we'll get to later. But I think we've all had a bit... I think we've all had enough of these old ladies getting married for the 20th time on TV. Like, enough already. Enough with that. But there's been an article going on around these... I don't know what's wrong with me today. There's an article going around about these firings that are saying that Alexis is fired because she has an eating disorder And it gets especially bad when they're filming. And so everybody felt really bad for, oh, it's a blind item, by the way, so it doesn't say Alexis. But one of them has an eating disorder, and her husband is a douchebag. And the other one has a drug problem and was shopping a show and her C-lister fiancé to other rival networks.
Ooh. Well, first of all, I don't know if – just because Alexis doesn't know what cauliflower is or broccoli – doesn't mean that she's an eating disorder. It just means she doesn't know things, okay?
Well, I was just going to say that Ronnie just described the entire cast, because if we're talking about eating disorders and shopping problems and douchebag husbands, anybody could apply there. Anybody.
Well, Alexis is like, what's that food where it's like it's sort of like it's meaty and white and it tastes like things – but it's on bones. You mean chicken? Yes. It's not an eating disorder. She's just
Hey, what's that vegetable? What's that vegetable? And it's green and it comes in those like pods. I remember trying one at an opening of Pea in the Pod, but I don't remember what it was. They're like green things with little round things in them.
You mean snow peas?
No. No, that's not it. They don't grow. Nothing grows in snow. That's a stupid name.
Hey, what's that fish that, like, it's sort of like red and white stripes, and it's like in a little curl, and I like to like hold it up by its tail because it looks like a little J for Jesus, and you can put it in your mouth. It's like really small, and sometimes people refer to small things by calling it that. What's that thing?
A shrimp.
Shrimp. That sounds weird. I don't think it's a shrimp. No, sorry.
It's shrimp. It's like the little fish. It's curled, and then you have to take off the tail. That's a shrimp.
Okay, that sounds about right, but just remind me what a tail is again. That's Alexis's eating disorder. She doesn't know what anything is.
Is this what? Is this the kind of shit that you people talked about when I wasn't here last week?
No, we just talked about you, Matt.
I get worried that you boys get sidetracked and spiral out of control on shit like scrimps.
I think after what happened on Miami this week,
and I mean nothing, we have plenty to make up for.
So wait, what other gossip is there?
Oh, God. Okay.
Is there more gossip?
Well, obviously, that was the biggest gossip. What else? Jill Zarin got drunk at some wedding and fell into a pool. That was pretty fun.
That's good.
You can't just can't, like, sweep over that so quickly. That is amazing.
She fell into a shut-up pool.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about it.
Yeah, I really have nothing else to say.
Talk about it, Matt. You don't want to sweep it under. Talk about it.
Basically, the real headline.
Such a warm reception back to the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Wait, we greeted you with show tunes before the show started, so I think that was actually a pretty warm.
I would like to complain about something because I do that so well.
Okay.
I follow Andy Cohen on Instagram, and normally I just like to see when people are in the clubhouse, if they're people that I enjoy. But I have a real problem with something he posted yesterday. He loves a selfie, and every once in a while, you know, we're capable of posting selfies that are stupid. But he posted himself in his dressing room before going on air. And he was just like, ugh, guys, I'm so bored. And I'm like, you are rich and famous. You have your own TV show. You're showing your thousands upon thousands of followers that you have a private dressing room. And all you're doing is sitting around and complaining that you're bored. Fuck you.
Yeah. Listen, Andy Cohen is ridiculous. We all know that. I mean, he's... I don't know what the deal is with Andy Cohen. If he asked you to be a guest bartender on a show, would you go on or no?
Not after the last night. I'm sorry, but like, I don't know. I really can't stand these celebrities. You know, he's like C grade, but people would kill to have his job and have his life. So how dare he sit there and complain about being bored? It drives me crazy.
Well, you know what I don't like about it is that he obviously wants an excuse. Oh, someone has joined the call. Oh, I think it's probably Ron. Wait, is Ronnie still with us or is he frozen? It just occurred to me he's been in the same position for quite a while. Oh, there's Ronnie.
It just occurred to you that I wasn't here. I was gone for so long, jerks.
I thought you were like unhappy with because Matt like went on a rant, and then we were both quiet. So I thought you just didn't have anything to say. So then I started speaking. I was like, okay, well if Ronnie's not going to contribute, then I'll say something. I also can't hear anything Ronnie's saying.
Me neither.
It's funny because Ronnie's talking, but he...
Nothing's coming out. And the funny thing is, if I'm going to complain about IndieCon, I'm going to complain about another thing. I hate these as videos.
Well, I think...
Too bad.
It's like, too bad. Well, we're right in the middle of one. We've got live viewers. This is what happens when we've got live podcasts.
Can't hear Ronnie. What are you complaining about? Sorry, this is really lame.
There's Ronnie. So to anyone who's listening to this on audio, you're missing some exciting stuff, which is basically...
Ben, just cut it out. Cut it out, Ben. Cut it out. Cut it out later. Okay, so anyway, I missed a whole big Matt rant. I'm so sad. What were you talking about?
I was talking about this tweet or Instagram photo where... Oh, there we go. Andy Cohen trying to give some, like, gay face, sitting in his dressing room saying... So bored, restless in my dressing room. I need a dog. Shut up, Andy Cohen. Shut up.
It was just, you know what it was? It was just an excuse to take a selfie. And that's what I don't like. If someone's going to take a selfie, be upfront and be like, I'm taking a selfie because I want to take a selfie of myself. But don't do this whole thing, oh, I'm so bored. I got nothing to do. I wish I had a dog. So I'm going to take a picture of myself. Like, don't do that, Andy Cohen.
Shut up, Andy Cohen. Shut up. I don't even want to be a bartender in your stupid-ass show anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, wait a
minute. Oh, girl. So isn't there any other gossip that happened this week? I feel like a lot happened.
Well, it's not necessarily gossip, but I did notice some promos for the upcoming seasons of Shaw's of Sunset and for Beverly Hills and for Atlanta and for Vanderpump Rules. I saw promos. Oh, and there is another piece of gossip, which is pertains to Portia, whatever her face is, Portia Stewart, implying that maybe Cordell Stewart, her estranged husband, might be gay after all. Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, God, yeah, because he changed the locks on her or some shit. Like, suddenly he's gay.
Yeah, because he, like, was having sex in their bed with another man. Suddenly he's gay. I don't get it.
Yeah, no kidding. He was choking on a giant 10-inch cock, and suddenly he's gay. I mean, everything makes you gay, apparently, these days.
He had Miss Washington over the back of an easy chair. Suddenly he's gay.
Matt's rolling his eyes.
I'm also going to clutch my pearls, which were donated by a super fan of ours who may have recently moved to Los Angeles and may be stalking us. And I'm okay with that because I need a stalker.
Yeah, Matt needs a stalker. Well, so much for that blind item. but did you guys see any of the promos for those shows this week?
I did. I'm super excited. I fucking hate New Jersey. I'm a little bored with Miami. The new NeNe show has me excited for the return of Atlanta. So I need BH, Atlanta, and Vanderpump back stat.
What we saw in the Beverly Hills promos is that it looks like there is that rift between Brandy and Lisa Vanderpump that was rumored to have happened. It looks like that's actually happening. Does Kim fall down a staircase of some sort? Is that what I saw?
Well, there's something interesting about that I read, that Brandy and Lisa thing. So far what we've heard about that fight is that Lisa's calling her a puppet master and being on Yolanda's side in some fight, and they got in a knockdown, drag out argument or something. But then Brandy gave some interview to some ladies magazine where she was saying that she's mad because Lisa was hiding how close she really is with that stupid waitress girl with the brown hair who slept with Eddie Cibrian.
Sheena?
From Tarzana. Where is she from?
Azusa.
Rosita.
Azusa. Oh, and in fact, last week I drove by a sign that said, "Welcome to Azusa." It was like America's heartland. And I really wanted to take a picture of it, except I was driving.
Yeah, so apparently Brandy's mad because Lisa's so close with her and she's trying to get her a spinoff. Okay, first of all, Brandy, you're not the only poor bitch who's going to be saved by Bravo. It's going to happen to a lot of poor sluts around town who just do nothing but get wasted, be mean to people, and like say rude things about people on Twitter. They're going to become famous too and make their $200,000 a year or whatever crap salary you're making too. So stop being Joe. Second of all, your husband cheated with like half the world. It's not just that stupid skank. He fucked a lot of people. How about being mad at the person who fucked around on you and not his skanks? That girl's just trying to get ahead. LA, it's called job hunting. Okay.
She should not bite the hand that feeds, because at the end of the day, nobody is going to go against Lisa Vanderpump. look, she's done a few messed up things throughout the years, and every time anybody says anything bad about her, Ben screams because he's Team Vanderpump, but most people are, and Brandy is dumb as hell if she thinks that she should be going up against her, because she will always lose.
Listen, Brandy, Bravo money is going to run out. Lisa money ain't never running out.
Ain't running out, honey.
And let me tell you something. The stupidest thing you could possibly do is to go up against Sheena, because that is a pop star waiting to happen, okay? Oh, we're looking at the next Britney Spears, and if you're going to fight her, then you have another thing coming. You are missing out on the Sheena gravy train.
Yes.
Fresh from Azusa.
So that's some Janelle Ho, nay, nay, yeah! That girl's going places for sure, you guys.
Yeah, she is Britney Spears of Azusa. She is Britney Cucumber Spears. I don't know. She's Christina Aguilera. Nowhere.
She's Christina. I don't know. I can't even think of.
What I know. I'm like trying to get pop stars. I'm like, she's the next Rihanna. Lame Nana. Who's a hot pop star? Katie. She's the next Lady Blah Blah. Katie Scary. Okay, anyway, going on. Should we move on to the shows?
Perrier. Yeah.
So,
Katie, would you like Perrier or just tap water? She's not going to be the most famous pop star / waitress ever. She's going to like mix those two. If she could just mix waiting tables with pop starism, she'd be really successful. She could be like, yeah, 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 special of the night is salmon.
She's the next Adele computer salesman. Okay, no one else is paying attention to the podcast. I'm looking at the guys. They're both looking down at their keyboards.
I'm reading Facebook comments, and they're all being dramatic about something. I can't tell. Okay, so let's move on to some show talk. We had, for sure, I know that we all watched Housewives this week, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so let's discuss some Housewives.
Should we start with Miami, because it was last night?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so I was excited about this episode because it was an hour of my life where nothing happened. I thought, how could I spend an hour where I watch something and nothing happens whatsoever? And the Miami episode answered that question for me. And I would like to say a formal apology to anyone who's been listening to us trumpet this show and decided, okay, you know what, I'm finally going to watch it. And they tuned in this week. I'm so sorry, because the show is normally much, much, much better than the turd that we had to watch last night.
And it's been a couple weeks now that I'm getting kind of worried. I mean, nothing is really going on. I mean, sitting there made me so ashamed of myself. I was so ashamed of myself for sitting through this bullshit today that I was almost as ashamed as my mother is that this is what I do with my life. Yeah. I was almost on that level of being ashamed of me.
Well, you know why it sucked so much is because I would say 90% of the episode pertained to Joanna's wedding. They were in LA, and they went to LA. They went to each other's mansions and bought Birkin bags. But it was really about the wedding. And it just comes back to the fact that anything pertaining to weddings on Bravo is a dud. Have you ever seen any episode of Real Housewives that centered around a wedding or wedding planning that has been entertaining? Think back to Real Housewives.
What? I mean, they do it on every single franchise. They do it on every one of them. And now they're on this whole string of everybody's like getting their free wedding from Andy on TV. Yeah. Why do they keep doing it if nobody's watching? I mean, nobody watched Tamara, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Matt.
The ratings were halfway decent, but I don't want to jump ahead here. But again, you need to have a massive, massive star who can carry their own spinoff. And I'll tell you right now, the only one that I've seen do that successfully, maybe Kim Zolciak a little bit, is NeNe Leakes. She is the only person I want to see get married, because she is a nut job, and she can provide comedy for an hour. These other people are not comedy.
See, I think where Bravo goes wrong is that they think, okay, well, weddings always create lots of stress and lots of drama. Plus, women love watching weddings, so this is perfect. But the truth is this, gay men, I don't think, really care that much about weddings. And the drama is really not that great. And if we wanted to watch all this wedding shit, we would turn to Wii and watch Bridezillas. We don't have to watch this over and over and over again. It is boring. It's killing me. I don't care if Joanna wants Lisa to be her bridesmaid or not, or if Adriana wants it. Like, no one gives a shit. I don't care what her dress looks like. No one cares what her dress looks like. No one cares about, like, the dress, you know, I want to say testing, the trying on of the dresses.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this has to be a mini skirt in the front because why not be myself if it's my wedding? You know, Romaine says I should be. Like, so you're a whore. Like, you're going into this like, I'm kind of a slut, so that's what I'm going to be at my wedding. No, your wedding, you change. You're going from being like a slut who lives off her looks to being like, yeah, I don't know.
The only person we want to see trying on dresses is Chanel from Princesses of Long Island.
Yes, because she sobs about someone else having better fortune than her. Now that's entertainment.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We like that. I think it's just all dull. And this whole thing about, you know, where Adriana tells Lisa she can't be in a bridesmaid if she's going to be in Joanna's wedding, and Joanna saying she's not allowed to be her maid of honor if she's in Adriana's wedding. Like, it feels manufactured and no one cares. You know, I don't care if Lisa, what her ultimate choice will be. I don't care if she's a bridesmaid to anyone. I don't care if she sits in a puddle during the entire wedding. Like, I just do not care.
Yeah. And well, they don't care either. I mean, that whole trip to LA, they seemed like they barely knew each other. They had nothing to talk about. I mean, I cringed at the sections where they had to actually sit and have conversations with each other because I was like, these ladies have nothing to talk about unless it's what a bitch Adriana is, you know? And that the same thing goes for the other ladies. Frankly, the only thing I found at all interesting in this episode was all the Alexia stuff because her son's such a fuck up and she was married to some drug kingpin. I mean, that sounds like a TV show to me. Just follow her around and have the husband come back into the picture. That I'll watch.
That was like the only good part of the episode. It was like a 10-minute or 5-minute interlude where there was some photo shoot and Alexia's stoner son like kicked a cab and the cabbie was like, I'm going to call the police. And he's like, oh man, he's like, he was getting in the way. I wanted to kick it. He was flipping me the bird. I had to kick him and kick it.
Okay, like the worst. You're going to make fun of him, and he deserves to be made fun of for the horrible things that he's done in last night's episode and also when he, you know, filmed himself punching a homeless dude in the nuts. But I will say this. I feel bad for Alexia. Having an ex-husband who has gone to jail and who has clearly done a lot of fucked up stuff, probably stuff that we'll never know how fucked up it truly is. She has kids by this dude, and I wouldn't know what to do in her position either. Like, yes, she should probably focus on her kids more and less on reality TV. However, she is stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I wouldn't know what to do either.
Yeah, no, she is. And I do like that she's supportive of her kids and, like, trying to, like, doing what she can to, like, help them. Although, on the other hand, you could also look at that as she's spoiling them.
She's not doing shit to help him. All she's doing is giving him money and giving him all the opportunity in the world to keep fucking up. That kid doesn't have a job. He doesn't do anything except lay around in his fucking underwear growing ratty ass split ends. I mean, what kind of lesson
is
that?
Okay, well, what would you suggest? He's not going to
get a job. Get a fucking job. I'm not a criminal. You know why? Because my ass was working at a bowling alley when I was 13 years old. That's why. Listen, I'd probably be out there doing drugs, selling drugs. I'd be a drug kingpin right now if it weren't for Skylane's Bowling Alley in El Paso, Texas. It saved my life.
Listen, I think the ship has sailed for this kid and his potential in life. I think at this point, the main goal is to make sure he does not get onto any more drugs. Like, just keep him with the weed.
You are some cynical, cynical, horrible people. There are plenty of people in this universe that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and being assholes that turn their lives around. Why can't this kid?
No, it's not about that he's addicted to drugs. It's that he's just spoiled and I just can't imagine him doing anything with his life.
The crux of the problem is that he thinks that his father is hot shit when the father is clearly a snake. And until he grows up enough and realizes that his father probably did a lot of terrible things to a lot of innocent people, he's not going to get it. He's going to think his dad is a pimp. That's what he calls his dad, and he wants to be version 2.0.
I loved when Alexia had the epiphany. She's like, I never realized that, you know, when I keep on saying that, like, his father is a piece of shit, and then I say, you're just like your father, I didn't realize I was calling my own son a piece of shit. Oh, I never realized that would be so hurtful. You really hurt your children that way. I was like, yeah, congratulations.
Whatever. Being called a piece of shit is part of growing up. I mean, how else are parents supposed to tell you you're doing wrong? They hit you with a wooden spoon, they call you a piece of shit, and you try and get better so that you can impress them and they won't leave you.
Well, what I like is watching the grandmother analyze them, and you have like three generations, and you just sort of see the declining returns, you know? The first is like the grandmother who is smart, she's educated. I actually feel like she's classy. She seems like she's from a certain position
in life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Classy, why? Because she wears a statement necklace from Chico's?
Yeah, actually. In this world,
on this
that's
show,
like...
Yeah, on this show, if you're not wearing a shirt that's like here and has your 80-year-old grandma tits hanging down to the floor, like with only your areolas covered, you're classy. Yeah. It doesn't take much.
She is. She wears like a little lady blazer. That's about 10 times more classy than anyone else on this show, okay? And then you have Alexia, who was a pretty girl who married a drug kingpin. So you're already thinking, oh, whoops, there was a misstep. And then you get to Peter, who's punching homeless guys in the nuts and videotaping it. It's just like, you know, this is when they say that psychologists and psychiatrists always have fucked up families, the proof is right here. This family lineage, that's the proof.
Yeah. Well, basically, the kid was cut off from his dad. He needed somebody to identify with, and now he has somebody to identify with. He's just a criminal. So have fun with that.
Yeah, I agree. But it'll be interesting to see if they can get to the root of it. It's going to be a while before Peter gets
to that is the root of it.
More importantly, didn't you think he was kind of hot?
He used to be hotter. His hair looks great, actually. I think his hair looks great.
I love a man with some nice hair. It reminds me of Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights, and I like that.
Yeah, I'm not even big into long hair, but his hair, long hair is good. But he's really let himself go. You know, I mean, he still looks good, but compared to what he used to look like, it's a shame. He actually really could have had it all. He's like a Whitney Houston song.
Yeah, he could have. And if you don't look, if you're already looking tired when you're 20, it is downhill. That is your best year, like 20 to 22. Like if you're not looking twinkish at that time, you're in trouble. I mean, that guy's like the next Al Bundy. He's going to be like the Cuban Al Bundy.
Listen, 2 years ago on this show, he was graduating from high school. He had a modeling career ahead of him. The world was his oyster. Now it's 2013, and he's kicking taxis on the street. So this is his life, and it's terrible.
Yeah, and I love – and also, you know what the best thing is that this kid is like – he's so like aggro, and he's such a criminal. Like he's so pimp. Kicking a fucking taxi is not like a big – pimp thing to do. Like, you want to be a tough guy, beat that fat fuck with a baseball bat and leave him on the floor all bloody with his skull like leaking out his brains. I mean, that's how to be a badass. What kind of criminal is going to want to hang out with you? I mean,
right. Don't kick the cab, kill him. That's what
you're saying. Yes.
If Peter were in like a real like drug movie, you know, he'd be the one who's like the low level henchman who messes something up. And then
he's the one
who's like sitting in a chair and Edward James Olmos comes over and like gives him some sort of like lecture. And he tells like an elaborate story. Like he's like, you ever hear the story of the cow and the owl and like the whole story? And Peter's like, huh? And at the end, he's like, and in the end, the owl kills the cow. And then Peter suddenly realizes what's happening. He's like, no, please, please, I'll do anything. Like, I'll fix it. I can fix it. He doesn't even know it's me. I swear, I'll never tell anyone. And then he gets killed. That's what happens to Peter.
Right. And in the corner, you just see Frankie cowering, but then the camera turns to him and Frankie has like a creepy little smile.
I think Frankie would cower.
Frankie would just be like,
yeah, Frankie,
that was awesome. He's like the most positive kid.
No, going Frankie. To no, because what happens is Frank. Then Edward James almost takes Frankie under his wing. He's like, "You come with me now." And then you see that Frankie is going to be let in, and you're like, "No, Frankie."
And then it cuts to Alexia getting the news and then crumpling onto her bed full of like white fur coats and she's just crying and mascara is running down her face and she's like atop like a dead fox like stole.
Yes, it's like at the very end of the movie, she sees Frankie and she's like, Frankie, your bus to college is waiting for you, Frankie. Are you going to take it? And then someone walks into the room and he's like, sorry, Mom, I have to have this conversation. And then the door closes very slowly on her face, and we go to the end credits.
No, you know what would be even better? If Frankie revealed that he really didn't suffer any brain damage, and it was very much like The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah.
And
his limp goes away.
His limp goes away as he walks away from his mother and leaves her in a puddle of tears.
And then it turns out it was Peter all along who's had the brain damage, and it all makes so much more sense.
Oh, my God. Why aren't we writing this, The Real Housewives of Miami, but a fictionalized version that's on the big screen?
oh my God, Alexi, the Echeverria story or whatever. Oh, that's a good, that should be next season for sure. So basically nothing happened in this episode, as evidenced by the fact that we just had to go into some Real Housewives of Miami fan fiction.
Yeah. If that says a lot, actually. But I do want to talk about Joanna. I mean, I didn't know that this chick had as much money as she did, and that she has five houses. What's that?
Five houses. That's a lot. That's a lot for a mid-range swimsuit model.
Well, I mean, to be clear, a shack in Encino is probably not that much.
That's true. I did like Leah's very diplomatic way of basically saying...
Diplomatic?
Like,
that was not diplomatic. Like,
well, she's not on the same hill as me, and I'm not even sure it's the hills. How cool is that?
For you guys that don't live in Los Angeles that are listening and are watching to us right now, what that means is Joanna is valley trash, and Leah is with the rich people in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah. Yeah. That was hilarious. That's exactly. I was like, oh my God, this. It's like, Leah, that's the only person who's still nice to you on this show. Stop dissing her when the camera turns away. It's like, well, you know, I mean, she was just this little, poor little kid from Poland, and now that she made it. Like, I know you think you're being sweet, but you're not.
I'm like, if this is what Fievel grows up to be like, I don't know if I want to watch that movie anymore. Fievel was from Russia, to be fair.
Yeah, so that was Miami. It looks like it's going to be more fun next week because they are going to, like, get in a fight at that, or it's like a little argument at that dinner in L.A., I don't know. About Joe Francis or something? I don't know. I just saw the coming previews.
Well, wait.
Never mind.
Yeah, were they at Koi or where were they?
They're at Koi.
So they're at Koi.
Koi, the hottest restaurant of 2003.
I know, right?
Koi zing.
I thought Leah was being a dick on this episode. I'm just going to say it.
I didn't actually think so. I'm trying to think.
Let me tell you why. When they were at Koi, the way she was talking to Lisa was unnecessary. Like, Lisa was trying to make a point about the fact that she can be friends with different people and she can be bridesmaids in two weddings, and that should be fine, and Joanna should fully accept that, and even Joanna's mother agreed with her. Then when Lisa was trying to bring up an example of certain groups like certain people...
Your anger has paused the podcast. I hope you're proud of yourself, Matthew.
Well, just because Ben's
not... me alone again?
I'm here!
Yeah. Why am I always alone?
We're here,
Ronnie.
I'm reading.
Ronnie, we're here.
We're here.
Okay, good. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, Matt. It keeps cutting you off mid-rant. Whenever you start ranting, people cuts you off.
Lisa was starting to use an example of, you know, certain people like the Joe Francis camp, certain people don't like the Joe Francis camp. And then out of nowhere, Leah gets, you know, a bug up her ass and is like, we can't even talk about that because he's not here to defend himself. And she went like off, and then she was rude to Lisa. And I don't know.
I don't understand the point of that. So what was the Joe Francis thing now? She was saying, I don't understand what he brought up.
Lisa was just trying to explain that certain people are friends with him, certain people don't understand him, and that's fine, and you're allowed to have different groups of friends. And Leah just kind of like took it on another rampage and was, you know, starting to be rude to Lisa. And the crazy thing is, by the end of the episode, I was like, the only one I like is Lisa. What is wrong with me?
I don't know. I mean, I think that was Leah definitely bit off Lisa's head, that's for sure. I think that it probably was not she probably didn't need to come on that strong, but at the same time, she also probably saw that by just merely uttering Joe Francis, Joanna is such an idiot that it was going to cause a scene at that stupid table. So she's like, don't bring this up. Like, I'm not going to do this right now. And it's actually the way Leah responded is the way that actually every single one of these housewives should have responded when other people talk about their friends. But of course they don't. That being said, I mean, yeah, it was aggressive. Listen, Lisa...
That's so typical Lisa. Like, she can't just argue. Instead of just making an argument, she's always starting shit, you know? It's like, well, like when she's at one fitting, she's like, whoops, I have to take this call, this secret call from Joanna. Hope it doesn't make any drama. Why is there so much drama? Then, you know, she's always trying to act like she's the one fixing everything. But then she's stirring the shit wherever she goes. Like, even bringing up Joe Francis in front of Joanna is meant to cause shit. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. What did Adriana do this? Adriana, this episode, all she did was... Adriana met with a wedding planner, correct? And yes. She was like, all right, this wedding has to be up to my standards. I want everyone to be dressed formal and then be in 20s gear.
Which, when by she the drove way, up and she's like, I am an O.
If I were invited to a wedding where I knew I had to change into 20s outfit for the reception, I would be like, see you later. No.
Yeah, that's an RSVP. No, bitch.
That's either I'm skipping the ceremony or I'm skipping the reception, but I am not having a costume change. Sorry.
Let's go to Facebook for some comments because Matt needs these right now. Okay. Kristen says, I agree with Matt that Leah was being a bitch. Derek says, we all felt that way, Matt.
Where okay. are my peeps at? Thank you, peeps.
Paula says, go, Matt, rant away. So there, Matt, there. Okay, are you happy, Matt? There, you got some support. Because I heard that sigh over there. I heard that evil sigh.
Did you just make those up, Ronnie, just to massage my ego? Because if you did, I'm totally okay with that.
Katie King says, Matt, you've never looked thinner and more handsome. Aww. Derek says, Matt, I hear you've got the giantest wiener in town. This is really good. These are really good.
Who's saying that?
Someone says, maybe I should gain a bunch of weight and get a shitty apartment to talk crap about people. Are you talking about me, bitch? Because I'll take
it down. Who said that? Who said that?
That doesn't matter. So anyway, so far, there we are. So are you guys ready to move on to New Jersey?
And I'm in a condo, motherfucker, so fuck off. That's what I say.
Well, I'm the fat one, so I'm guessing that I'm the fat one with the shitty apartment. You know what? Maybe you could help me by sending me some money so that I could eat. Look, I have a butternut squash on my counter, okay? You can see it right there. I'm trying, okay? I'm trying.
We could hawk my pearls at a pawn shop.
You know what we should do?
Look at this Claire's price tag, anybody. There's Claire's right there, Claire's.
Listen, if you have any hate for us, use it in a constructive way. Why don't you go to GoDaddy.com and sign up for your own domain for $2 by using the promo code CRAPINS, and then you can create all sorts of websites like
the TV Ronnie Karam sucks.
What?
Yeah, Ronnie Karam is a fat bitch with a horrible, with no money in a shitty kitchen.
.com.
That's a long one, but yeah, that would be a website I could see you getting traffic at.
Yeah, do that, people, and you can really let me tell you something. Before this podcast, I went to the car wash, and there was a Tuesday special. And you know what they told me? They said Tuesday special, you get $2 off. And with that $2, you know what I can do? I can buy a whole .com domain. Isn't that crazy? I could buy a whole .com domain with the promo code CRAPINS. Just from the money I saved on the Tuesday special at the car wash.
Yeah, guys. GoDaddy.com. Get your own domain name for just $2. Thanks.
By the way, you know who's at the car wash? Here's a name drop. And you guys know I will like this one.
Wait, I want to guess. Give me
Guess who's at the car wash today?
Tay Diggs.
Very close, actually.
Oh, Omar Epps.
No.
Queen Latifah.
You guys are really... You guys targeted right in on it, but no.
Okay. Wait. Don't tell us. Gabrielle Union.
No, farther away now.
Oh, it's a dude. Or it's a lesbian. Or it's a dude that looks like a lady.
It's a man.
Mario Van Peebles.
Nope. Farther away now.
Tina Turner.
No.
But if
I saw Tina Turner at the car wash, I'd be very excited. You guys have already
known. She's in Switzerland now, I think.
Ooh, I got one. Morris Chestnut.
No.
Hotness,
but no.
Idris Elba.
No. Hotness, Nell Carter. Again, no.
Nell Carter.
No.
Nell Carter's ghost with her ghost car.
She ain't misbehaving at the car wash.
Precious. Precious of by Safari.
No.
Who? Just tell me who. This is boring.
He stars on a TV show that I believe is having its season premiere tonight. Matt, you can guess. I gave you some good TV information there.
I don't care. Just tell me. Look, it's Mel Carter's ghost. Give me a break. You better tell me. Tell me who you saw at the car wash.
I saw LL Cool J.
Ugh, boring. Was he wearing a Kangol hat and pretending to rap, or was he just cashing his checks because he's on that piece of shit show NCIS Los Angeles?
He was wearing a baseball cap. He rode up in his Maybach. And I'm telling you something, those dimples, those are the cutest dimples I ever seen.
What's he doing?
You know what Mama said? Mama said, shut the fuck up.
For those of you who think that seeing LL Cool J is really cool, like his name, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/
Go to godaddy.com and buy a domain name that says LL Cool J at the car wash is cool, okay?
Yeah, that's a great idea. So I think this is the perfect time to go on to New Jersey if we still have people listening to us.
Wait.
Oh my God. This is what always, every single time. This is why the podcast is an hour and a half. It's like, okay, well, it's time to move on. Matt's like, wait a second. Did you see the ashtray in the house?
I wanted to talk about Joanna having, like, slave labor in her house taking care of gross, creepy little kittens.
Yeah, those were gross kittens. I love cats, but those were gross kittens.
Those were nasty kittens. I think that if kittens are abandoned that young, you should just throw them in the trash and let them die.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Well, look, okay, wow. I shouldn't say that, but look, this is what I feel about rescuing, and I'm thinking this because there's this lady I walk past every day when I take Bueller on his little walk. She's got this evil fucking dog who wants to kill us both, and they just sit on the top of the stairs and they look at us. And one day I was walking towards her and she, like, tried to cross the street, but a car was coming, so I stopped, and I was like, I said, it's okay, he's friendly. And she goes, mine's not, he's had a really rough life. And I was thinking, aren't there, like, cute fluffy dogs to adopt? Why does everybody have to adopt the psycho dogs who want to kill everybody? Like, that dog would eat a baby's face off. I'm sure that there was a cute little cockapoo or something that needed to be adopted, and you probably let him get killed because he wasn't damaged enough for you.
You know, you actually make a good point. I never thought about that before. But yeah, because there are a lot of, like, really dangerous animals out there. Not, I mean, unfortunately, it's not of their own doing, but...
But, like, why would you adopt a three-legged dog instead of, like, a cute dog? Like, does it make you a better person to adopt a three-legged dog? Because you just killed a cute dog. Yeah, but you just killed a cute dog by not adopting it. Yeah, they get killed when they're not adopted.
The cute ones don't get killed ever.
The cute ones always get killed.
They do, because people don't feel cool enough adopting a cute kid. I mean, a cute pet. Now, with kids, they're not going to just go out and adopt a one-legged kid on purpose. You know, then they're going to try and get some white little cute little baby and screw all the other ones. I think we need to switch our priorities, people, all right? You need to give ugly kids a better chance of being adopted and just kill the ugly dogs. Okay, that's been your public service announcement from me today. Thank you.
I love that Ronnie is the dog owner of the three of us, too.
I know.
I saved my dog, and he's cute. I saved a cute dog, so I practice what I preach. Well, he's cute in a weird way.
Speaking of ugly dogs, should we talk about New Jersey? Do we have any last thoughts on Miami, on the episode where nothing happened?
Yes, I have a few more.
Okay, Matt, go on.
You do not have more Miami. You're just being difficult. You're just trying to get us to be mean to you so people say nice things about you on Facebook.
They say nice things about me because I am fucking nice.
Okay, you have 5 seconds and then we're moving on to Real Housewives.
Yeah. Joanna couldn't turn on her fireplace.
Someone said, Pete Joanna says, looks like Matt is preoccupied. Ronnie, your apartment is what real estate people call cozy. Look, you guys, I have a cuter look that I could put in my apartment. I could give it a cuter angle, but this is where I get the sun. So I'm worried more about my face than what my apartment looks like. Okay, give me a break. I'm a poor person. You think I'd be sitting here on the fucking internet if I was
nice
rich?
Nice Nell Carter callback.
Right?
Give me a break.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you. You see? Circle of life. Okay, Jersey. Okay, right. So you guys, the craziest thing happened this week on Jersey.
Yeah.
Melissa thinks that Teresa is starting stuff, and she's going to confront her. Oh my God.
No! Oh, my God.
Wow. You guys. We've been dealing with this for 3 seasons, and I am ready for Danielle Staub to put on Leatherface's skin mask, walk into the set, murder everybody, and demand her own spinoff.
I agree. You know what I would love?
Danielle Staub was given a second chance, and she blew it on Watch What Happens. Boo, Danielle Staub. Couldn't even pull off 1.5 hour where it was all about you, lame mask.
She was bad. She was really bad on that. Here's what I would like to see happen. I'd like to see Melissa Gorga read one of these tweets from Johnny the Greek or Fatso the Italian, and say, oh, okay, you know what? I don't care. How about that? That's a real good way to diffuse it. But if someone says, hey, Melissa Gorga, I heard you had a hangnail, and she's like, I can't believe someone told him about the hangnail. I want to get to the bottom of it. And then she fuels all this ridiculousness. just chill out, bitch. Or how about this? Why don't you just get off Twitter? No one cares what you have to say anyway, so stop reading what people say and you will have a happier life.
Yeah.
But follow Ben at B-Side Blog.
Oh, yeah. And Matt at Life on the M-List. And Ronnie at Trash Tweet TV. Melissa, thanks.
yeah, I was watching. They showed all of them, whatever you call it, a marathon of them this week. And I was sitting down watching them because I had to get a new DVR, so I had nothing recorded. So I was watching them again. And I was like, really, Melissa? Just a few weeks ago, which seems like 10 years ago, but just a few weeks ago, this was all about how Melissa's cheating on her husband, and that was going around on Twitter. And Teresa heard this because she was sitting at dinner with Jan, the bridesmaid, and the bridesmaid was telling everybody that Melissa's fucking her ex-boyfriend, and then Teresa didn't say anything, but Teresa was still in trouble because these girls were talking shit about her. And I'm like, come on, like, you are really grasping. And whatever happened to that, is she fucking that guy? Because he was threatening to tell people on Twitter about it and put pictures or something.
I don't know. She has a reputation to protect because she's about to become a huge pop star.
Huge.
After an appearance, she had a concert in a conference room in a corporate building in Orlando. And if it does not get bigger than that, okay,
let me tell you guys something.
The next Sheena.
If you think that Jersey is trash, Florida, if we're not talking about Miami, is super trash.
Yeah. There should be the Real Housewives of Orlando.
What good ever came out of Orlando, honestly?
Disney World.
Disney World. SeaWorld.
That is some fake trash. The real one is in Anaheim.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, the real Disney World.
Yeah, it's but at Disney World, they have these things that you can motorize yourself so you don't have to walk, and they're for when you're, like, over 400 pounds. And I think that that's really a big step in the right direction in Orlando.
Listen.
Bring on the 500-pounders and wheel them around.
Let's applaud Walt Disney for making his theme parks in two of the trashiest parts of the country, Orlando and Orange County.
Excuse me. He did not make them into trash. The Disney Corporation turned them into trash. He was a visionary who died way too soon, and everybody that wanted money fucked everything up, and he never wanted any shit to happen in Orlando, but those greedy bitches did. So learn your Disney history.
Alrighty. So anyway, back to New Jersey, speaking of trash things, I'm surprised there is Action Park in New Jersey and Six Flags Great Adventure. Those are two.
Action Park closed.
Oh, did it? Well, okay, that was inevitable. Anyway, so back to New Jersey. So the big thing is that, so Melissa is still concerned about rumors. She went down to Orlando where she sang off key for this singing instructor and then did a little performance on an Orlando radio station. And this big-time manager who's getting paid by Bravo had to sit and pretend like she was going to have a career. And as Teresa said, I don't know many 37-year-olds become pop stars, but hey, there's a first time for everything. Team Teresa
on that one. I'm sorry, but every time Melissa thinks that she's going to be a pop star, then she starts whining about her children and her husband and her family and her duties, and then we see her, and then she can't fucking sing, and then she stands up, and she always does these, like, dance moves that prove that she was a stripper, and wants to pretend that she's not a stripper.
Here's the thing with Melissa. Her voice is not the best, but it's no worse than, like, Britney Spears, okay? But that being said, she does not have the confidence that she needs. Every time she's, like, singing and she's, like,
well, do you blame her? I mean, look at her husband. He's like, so, you know, she's not so much of a good singer, but I don't care. She's my angel. I'll support her through whatever. And then the guys, when they have that listening party, everybody's laughing at her. Basically laughing at how terrible she is. And, you know, even Kathy's like, she's a nice girl, but no.
I wasn't feeling that song.
Kathy is so nice, you know, so.
But the point is this, though. She does not, like, have any confidence, and that's why she will truly never become a pop star. Aside from the fact that her voice is not great, and she's way too old, and there's no reason for her to be a pop star. At the very least, she should, like, be commanding, and she's not.
Yeah. Also, you know, I think that in general, to be a pop star, people have to want to fuck you. Like, I mean, I know there are such things as married pop stars and stuff, and I'm not saying you should just die once you're married, but it does kind of change it, doesn't it? Like, I don't want to listen to you sing songs about your fucking husband. I mean, that's so lame.
Are you suggesting that women who get married and have children are less desirable, Ronnie? Is that what are you willing to put that out there to all of our female listeners right now?
I'm saying they become less fuckable to their husbands over time, and they become less fuckable to the American public in less time.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, I think that Melissa's looking great these days. I think her hair looks good. Her body looks good.
Oh, and but that goes for the men, too, not just the women. Sorry.
The problem is that
Melissa is anorexic. It is not a cute look.
Oh, she's not anorexic. But here's the thing, though. She has established herself too much as this, like, wifey type. And it's hard to imagine her being a pop star, like, take her seriously as a pop star. She should be singing stupid ballads. She should be singing stuff for adult contemporary radio. She should be doing Bublé kind of bullshit and
no, excuse me. Stuff. Excuse me. My background is in music. I majored in it in college. I have worked for Clear Channel twice. I've worked for Napster. This bitch cannot sing and should not sing. She is terrible. I would rather hear the Countess Luann any day of the week.
I didn't know that you were into music. Maybe I never loved you quite as often as I do. All right, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of this shitty apartment, Matt.
Notice I was not hitting my button to spin around on the voice right there.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm gonna be Christina Aguilera and just wave my fan.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see what else happened. So the little town, New Jersey.
Were you about to call their restaurant by a country band's name?
Yes, I think I did that. That's like the second time I've done that. Little town, New Jersey opened up. Where there were sliders everywhere the eye could see. I'm surprised that MJ did not come barreling down the door.
Okay, Ben. What the hell is this dish that they were serving that apparently is like a thing? It's some meat on a like a little meat thing.
Yeah, you know what it was? It was like a piece of meat on a piece of bread with some sort of butter. And they're like, oh, it's not quite the brownstones. Like, I did not see
when your signature dish is a slab of meat with some butter on a Triscuit, you should just go kill yourself and shut the restaurant right now.
I know. I'm surprised there wasn't a little piece of egg salad on a tiny crostini in honor of Lauren Manzo.
They don't know what a crostini is. They're trash.
I know. They're like, let's put some egg salad on a Cheez-It. We'll call it the Lauren.
I got super excited about this episode when I read the description of it because it said the Caroline Sons opened their restaurant, but they face a stinging critique from a critic or something. And I was like, oh my God, someone's going to rip them apart. And this is where the Yelp 2 stars come in. And
Well, I'm sure Kat Odell was there reviewing it, but because she doesn't have a real job and she doesn't do anything, there was no reason to put her on camera because she sucks.
How dare you? Like, Kat Odell has started so many careers. She has given every famous chef their start, okay?
She's like, I think that Christopher Manzo and I have a thing. We sort of looked at each other. He's like sort of into me right now. I don't know.
Look, I don't date every chef that I meet. I just stuck his sausage in me. It doesn't mean anything. We were in a kitchen, and that's totally normal, as you were.
By the way, I think we can officially say that Lauren Manzo is no longer the heaviest Manzo child. Poor Christopher is.
I think Christopher is so much cuter fat. This fat.
He before it was that like, oh, he's gained some weight and he's getting a little heavy. He is actually now really
certain people though should not be skinny. I mean, Perez Hilton is one example. Like, have you seen his now photos?
Perez Hilton looks like an Al Hirschfeld drawing in real life.
Okay, for those of us that are listening to this podcast and or involved in this podcast, what the hell does that even mean?
Al Hirschfeld drew all those Broadway stars. So if you go to any restaurant in New York and all those cartoon drawings.
More than that, he was like the in-house illustrator for the New York Times for like 60 years.
New York Times.
Anyone with any sort of knowledge about anything, Matthew.
Yeah, Matt, that's not even gay knowledge. That's just like knowledge.
Yeah, that's knowledge.
That's like regular people knowledge.
That's like we just dropped some Al Hirschfeld knowledge on you. That's like, for those of you who think that all we do is talk about trash, here's a upmarket illusion for you.
Yeah.
Some high art for you peeps.
Some high art. Anyway, the point is this. Christopher is gaining weight, and I don't want to be so catty as to just point out someone's physical appearances, but when you're on TV, sometimes all bets are off. And I just want him to start maybe visiting a treadmill just a little bit for his own health.
I don't. I think he looks better fat. I like when people just commit. Like, I don't like the middle road, you know? Yeah. I like it when you're just, like, fat or thin. Don't be in the middle, because then you just look like you're depressed.
So then anyway, let's see. Nothing happened in Kathy's life this week, as
that
usual.
That is not true. Joseph got a gay white Jeep Wrangler.
With balloons on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Who cares? So Teresa had lunch with Victoria Gotti.
Oh, yeah. So they both showed up looking like they were on a stakeout, okay?
By the way, that is the real spinoff that they need to have. Forget, like, Tamara's OC wedding. I want to see Victoria Gotti and Teresa Giudice wearing purple felt fedoras going undercover, solving silly crimes at boutiques all across the Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah. V&T's detective agency. They looked so much like I expected that McGruff the crime dog was going to sit down next to them. I mean, they were just like
the case of the stolen purple boa. I mean, they should do a new version of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I was just going to say, Where in the World is Carmen Lucia Maria Teresa Santiago?
Yeah. Which dumpster in the world is Johnny Two Eyes Fitziono?
I love that conversation, though, when she's like, so, you know, good to see you, Teresa. So I read that your husband's going to jail and everyone's feeding on you. And how do you feel? And Teresa's like, don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
The end. Thanks. Yeah. Well, this was a great scene. Thanks. Glad you both showed up for your free lunch.
Okay, right. I just got to put this out there. It's never going to happen in a million years, but I was obsessed with growing up Gotti on A&E, and I would kill if Bravo was actually able to get Victoria to be part of this show next season. I feel like this show is on its last legs. We need an injection of a new star, and that is Victoria Gotti.
I think Victoria Gotti would actually be a great addition. Wonder what are her kids up to these days? Are her kids in jail now?
I don't know. They're avoiding the police, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I think Victoria Gotti should totally be a cast member, and she would do it. It's more high profile than her show was.
Exactly.
So we finally got to go to Posh. So it does turn out that Posh does have a salon, and so this is where this big fight's going to talk. Okay.
Posh 2, Electric Boogaloo.
So for those of you who don't watch a show and just listen for fun, so there's going to be this big showdown at Posh where everybody's going to confront Penny, the bitch who, along with her husband, has been spreading nasty tweets about everyone all season Penny. Long, causing all this drama. So they're gonna attack Penny at this thing, and everyone's got something to say to her. And yeah, earlier in the day, what's her buns? Jackie is saying, oh, well, Penny has just tweeted that Penny's husband has just tweeted that we are pretending that my son has alcoholism. Sorry, autism, and he doesn't really. And they're like, who would do that? Who would say something like that? But then when we get to the party, she never says anything about a tweet. She just says, I heard that your husband has been going around saying this.
Right.
Never brings up a tweet, and Bravo never showed us a tweet, and there is no tweet on this timeline saying that. So what do you think's going on there, boy?
Is this the Penny from Inspector Gadget? That's all I got.
No, this Penny, for those of you who don't know who this Penny is,
she's
the one
Penny
on the
from
screen.
Inspector Gadget.
She's the one on the screen who looks like Gordon Ramsay in the long blonde wig.
That is not a wig.
That's
on Facebook, they say she looks like Ellen Barkin, which I think is pretty good. It's just I like Ellen Barkin, and Penny's just got that straw weave. Oh, and you saw her come in, and you see that line of her weave. It was so sad.
Well, and the color separation. Yeah, not good.
You know, I took some there were so many funny images at this Posh 2 party that I actually took screen grabs, and I'm wondering how I can show them here on this video podcast. Let's see. What do I do? Do I press screen share? How do I do this, Ronnie?
Yeah, press screen share, and then it's going to bring up options for which window you want to share, and then just click the picture.
This has disaster written all over.
No. Oh, no, this is going to be good. Okay, ready? Here's the first one. You start screen share with this picture. All right. This picture, I like this because do you guys see the we have the very professional banner that's
sponsored
overhead.
By Moxie.
Yeah. This banner, I like it says, welcome, _S, Kim D. that's great.
That's perfect.
Okay, now here we go. I'm going to do a different window now. Sorry, everyone, this is very slow, but it's because Google is the worst. Slash is really my fault. Okay, we're going to do this one now. This is Joe Judice.
Oh,
walking.
It killed me. It killed me.
By the way, if you are only listening to this podcast, and not watching it on YouTube, you are missing out on these wonderful visuals. Tell them where they can subscribe, Ronnie.
To the videos. Yeah, you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/trashtalk. /theTVClick. And we're every Tuesday live at 4:30 Pacific time. Yeah, Joe is wearing a pink shirt with a leopard collar that's outside of his jacket. Oh my gosh.
All right, here we go. Here's another one. Here's another shot that I took.
Ew, stop.
Yes, Joe getting his eyebrows done. And we never got to see an after on that.
I know. But this is
I am a fan of
What am I, a fag now? What? Huh? What am I, a fag now?
This is
I gotta do this shit every day of my life. Are you kidding me? This is
it's not like Mama Elsa, by the way, I'd like to add.
So we finally got to a disturbing picture. Do you have another one?
Is there more?
Oh, I've got plenty more. How about this is Joe Gorga walking.
I feel like I'm at one of those you know, when somebody comes back from a vacation that you don't give a fuck about and they've been like on a cruise ship for 2 weeks and they force you to sit in their living room while they click through all of their slides and the entire time you're like, my vodka is empty and if I had a razor blade, I would jab it in my jugular. That's what's happening. I know.
They're like, look, guys, this is going through the iPhone. I would like to point out this dress that Melissa is wearing is the Shamu dress that Kim Kardashian was wearing when she was pregnant and everybody was calling her Shamu.
And I'd like to point out that Joe Gorga's outfit is the same outfit that Johnny Depp wore in Pirates of the Caribbean.
And his cap is the same cap that Penis is wearing. He's wearing a
this
penis.
Dude must be so excited that they film this season during the winter so that he can kind of wear that beret, beanie, whatever is happening. If they were filming this in the middle of July, Ben, you know how hot and humid it is in July in New Jersey? Yeah. My God.
Yeah. Okay, here's an image that I thought was hilarious just because there's this crazy woman in the background and she looks almost like, this is almost like a big business moment with Caroline and this woman. They're like, wait, is that my twin. Am I you? Are you me?
Caroline is wearing a hairdresser's smock and the woman in the background is wearing a ginormous cross from TJ Maxx that is hanging in Tamara's kitchen.
She's sort of like Reba McEntire meets Linda Tripp in the background there.
Meets Swoozy Kurtz from Rules of Attraction.
There are just not enough Linda Tripp jokes. Let's move on to pictures, because I worry about people who are listening.
Okay. No more pictures, you say?
Uh-uh. Wait, one more. One more. Come on.
Okay, one more. I only have two more left. We'll do them really quickly.
Ronnie, as if this could be worse than us podcasting in a fucking mall food court.
Okay. We should do that again. That was really fun.
Okay, there's Kathy with big eyes, which is always fun to look at, right?
Yeah.
And then last but not least, I love these two women behind Jacqueline here in this image. Shocked. This is, to me, quintessential Jersey. Big hair, tragic faces, gap teeth.
I mean, tragic. And look at that weave on that blonde one. Oh, my God.
This is Posh 2. This is what we have in Posh 2. Okay, I will end the screen share. That was what I wanted to share with all of you people.
Yeah, I was like, good trip to Hawaii. Yay. Good trip to Hawaii.
Great trip.
So it basically ended at Posh where everybody starts to criticize Penny and she's blaming Teresa for everything and taking no responsibility for anything. But right now, for the moment, it looks like everybody is on Teresa's side and thinks that Penny's just crazy. Am I right?
Yeah, everyone thinks Penny's crazy.
Even though we know just from Twitter that it all goes off the rails and everyone hates Teresa again. So I'm excited to see how that happens, but we'll have to wait until the season finale next week.
Yeah, I have a feeling the way everyone starts to hate Teresa again is that Andy Cohen pits them against Teresa in the reunion once again. And then all the rooms are reopened.
Well, it makes for good reunions because if Teresa were calm and collected, what the hell would be the point of this show?
Yeah.
Jersey's reunions have never fucked around. They are always good reunions. So that'll be fun. Insane. And Andy is having Teresa and Juicy Joe on next week after the finale. I'll watch what happens supposedly grill them about their arrest, which you know they're not going to talk about. So
yeah. Well, what I liked about this Penny confrontation, just to get back to that, is that when Jacqueline first approached her, that Penny was like, what? I love autistic children. I love them. Yeah. I teach autism. First of all,
let me tell you the truth. And I love that her and Kim D both do this. Or she and Kim D both do this. Her and Kim D? She and Kim D.
She. Right?
She. When they say, let me tell you the truth right now. They always start with that. Let me be honest with you. Let me tell you the truth. I love autistic children, Jacqueline. I taught autism.
I taught people how to actually become autistic. You know what I love? I love autistic guitar music. That's acoustic. I love acoustic too. I love acoustic children. I teach acoustics.
So funny. So yeah, that was definitely the best Penny quote. And it made me just want to see more and more of Penny, because what the hell else is going on? I cannot care anymore about Melissa and her bullshit.
I'm just happy that we're seeing this big brawl at Posh 2, because there was speculation, there were rumors on the internet that it was either going to be edited in such a way that Penny and Johnny the Greek or Jimmy the Greek or whatever his name is were not going to be in it. And there were rumors that the brawl wasn't even going to air a la the Dominican Republic brawl. But lo and behold, we are getting the brawl. It looks like they'll be fighting. There'll be sinks thrown. And Caroline is going to be yelling as if someone took away all of Lauren's egg salad. I am very excited about this.
There is something really fun posted on our Facebook page in the Post by Others section. I think Katie posted it. Sorry, I forget who posted it, but somebody posted this blog that supposedly Penny is writing, and she has to change everybody's names due to law reasons. She doesn't want to get sued. And I tried to make it through it, but I mean, she's as dumb as the rest of those biatches. I cannot get through it, but basically they're saying that Bravo's re-edited everything to make them look horrible, just like they always say. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as the season goes on. I mean, there's only 4 more weeks, right? Because next week it's over, and then three reunions.
Do you think that Penny is a crazy bitch, or do you think that Teresa put her up to say things?
I think that Teresa said stuff in front of her. I don't see Teresa being like, would you tweet this? Although, I don't know that I would put that past her either, but...
I think more than any of the other franchises, I feel like the hanger-oners and the people that are, you know, waiting in the wings in the Jersey cast or around the Jersey cast are the most desperate to get screen time and to be cast on the show. And I feel like in that instance, they will do anything in their power to get on. Whereas, like, people in LA couldn't give two shits about being on Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The hangers-on on this show are really the worst. That whole group, Jan, the realtor, who's like, girl, that girl, and that girl got it in for you.
Jen Dalton. Jen Dalton.
Oh, Kim D's called me, girl. She's saying lots of stuff about you, girl. But
that being said, though, even though these people are so desperate to get on TV, I don't think there's any other group of side characters on any of the other shows that I enjoy as much as the side characters on New Jersey.
No way. I totally disagree.
I think they're more cartoony, and that's what makes them funnier.
Have you met Dwight from The Real Housewives of Atlanta? The Atlanta side cast members are amazing.
No, the Atlanta side characters are actually my least favorite of the side characters. They are the worst. They make my skin crawl. They're just...
Atlanta?
They're terrible. Miami has good side characters, too. Miami's are good.
What about Brooks from OC? Come on. Gotta love some Brooks.
You know, by the way, I never told you guys a story. I keep on forgetting it. I'm finally remembering. Finally. A friend of ours, who will remain nameless, was at the Orange County Fair this summer and wound up, like, was at one of the carnival games, and Brooks was there doing it was like horseshoes or something, and the prize was a veggie burger. And so... And he was like,
oh my God,
playing for a veggie burger.
Oh my God.
I would totally play anything for a veggie burger. That sounds delicious right now.
Well, a couple of really good points. First, this is coming from Facebook. First of all, Tara Denise, that was me, you fuckers. Sorry, didn't give you proper credit for that article submission. That was some good shit. Now, Tara, could you please decode it so I could read it?
Did she just call us you fuckers?
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
In a loving way. The other crazy's gone. And then Derek says Teresa wasn't blinking in the argument, so she was telling the truth. Good point, Derek.
Derek is on top of his shit. He is so he knows his shit on that.
Because if not, she would have been like, what?
Derek is a smarty.
Okay,
smart old Derek.
Jersey comes back.
I gotta say one other thing about Jersey today. I found out at Yahoo, we are going to be doing the official live stream of the red carpet of the American Music Awards in November. I believe it's Sunday, November 24th. And the people that will be doing the red carpet are somebody that I don't remember, Lance Bass, And Rosie from The Real Housewives of New Jersey is going to be our red carpet correspondent for the American Music Awards.
That's inspired casting. That's very inspired.
That's real. So, I mean, what's she going to say?
I
that
just
is heard... long. Is that uncomfortable? Hey, that bitch walked away from me. I'll kill her! I'll fucking kill her!
And guess what, Ronnie? Now people care about the American Music Awards.
We do, at least.
Well, because the Grammys are ridiculous.
You care about it suddenly. All right, let's move on to these new shows because we've got two new Bravo treats this week in I Dream of NeNe and The New Atlanta. Let's start with the new. Let's start with NeNe.
I love it. I mean, I have hated NeNe on The Real Housewives of Atlanta for the past two seasons, but this woman is the only one that can truly hold her own spinoff. I was entertained. I mean, Ronnie, you can say that you're bored, but nobody gives better one-liners and funny shit than NeNe Leakes.
Usually, and I hope it gets better. I love that next week she's going to be telling off her stepchildren, and she's like, you don't come into my house and check me. I love that.
Anybody that says check me, boo, is forever, I forever love them.
Well, I think that that looks good. This episode, though, was just basically NeNe going on and on about how Greg fucked her over and how he's so lucky that she's going to be married to him again. What did he do? He didn't do anything. He didn't talk shit.
He talked shit about her on radio
station. He got tricked. He got tricked into doing that. But he thought he was talking to his friend. He did not know he was on the radio. It doesn't count. And what he said... And what he said was true. NeNe did use his rich ass to look like she was more wealthy. She cost him all this money trying to look good for this TV show. And then the second she got fame and fortune, she dumped his ass. He was right. I can't believe he's back there groveling.
Well, then why is she taking him back, Ronnie?
Because she's a moose, and who's going to date her? I mean, Bullwinkle only gets fucking that little squirrel. Nobody likes that little squirrel. I don't even know his name.
That fat rich dude was buying her like stilettos all day long and
to get on TV. It's not a real love.
And because he was paid by Bravo, probably.
Yeah, no one's gonna date NeNe. I think NeNe thought, oh, she's gonna get the sitcom and then she's gonna come to LA and then she can fuck anybody she wants to. And that's really not how it works. Like,
well, I mean, how great was it also when at the beginning of the episode she goes, oh, well, we need to get married in June because the new normal will be back to shooting in August for season 2. Canceled.
Awkward.
Sorry,
and you know, Bravo was like, oh, even though that's part of the NBC Universal family, we're keeping that in because that's funny.
Yeah, Greg may not have taste, but America does. Yeah, NeNe, I have high hopes for it because the commercials look amazing, and I love that she's like, this was supposed to be the best day of my life, and it was a nightmare hell house. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. That'll watch. But this was just NeNe being mean to Greg, and then Greg groveling, and then they talked to some old ladies in a nursing home or something.
They didn't talk to old ladies. They talked to every aunt and uncle. I feel like NeNe has 47 aunts and 52 uncles.
Yes.
That she knows of.
Oh, my God. I want the whole thing to be NeNe and Greg living with all the stepkids. That's what I want. That I will watch every week for 10 hours a day. So is that all about NeNe, you guys? Do we just have to wait for more stuff to happen?
I didn't get to see it.
Ben, it is worth your time. It is worth your time. It is funny.
A little bit of NeNe goes a long way. It's what I always say about Bethany.
Oh, well, we didn't talk about this because, well, maybe you did because I was MIA last week dealing with the Emmys, but am I the only one watching Bethany's new talk show?
Yes. Yes.
I love it. It is like a slutty. Wait. It is very slutty, and I think it's fun.
Wait a second. Okay,
It's a talk show for sluts. That should be the tagline.
No, no offense, Matt. It's a talk show for idiots, okay? I watched one. I'm not saying you are. I'm not doing Alexia.
What about it's a talk show for dumb sluts. Hey.
Okay, I watched a segment of it last week.
Which segment?
It was Bethany.
The one where she has the fishbowl and you pull it out and she said, would you ever do this?
No. It was the segment where she goes, Sal, who else is always pulling underwear out of their ass? And I'm like, no one is. And she's like, one thing that I'm always doing is pulling underwear out of my ass. Here's some footage of people of my ass. And so then we watched like 20 seconds or 30 seconds of her pulling underwear out of her ass. And she's like, my underwear, what's going on here? My underwear's coming out of my ass. So finally she's like, now we have some tips on how to get underwear out of your ass. So I have this poor woman. they pull her out on stage, and she has like tips. Like, one way that underwear won't get stuck in your ass is if you get one that has like, it's a little bit wider than a G-string. And then she's like, another thing is you can put a Band-Aid on your ass cheeks, and then the thong can't go into your ass cheeks. And people start to boo this woman.
I'm now clutching my pearls. I'm grossed out.
So
what is happening?
People are like, people are booing this poor lady who brings out these things. And this poor lady is probably like a PA who they're like, we need someone on stage right away. So then Bethany's like, oh, I want to try these on. So right there in front of everyone, she starts putting on this underwear. And so she puts on the underwear and she gets it like up there. And then she's like, okay. And she takes it off. And then she's like, who wants these? And she gives it away to the audience.
Ew.
Like, were they screaming like Oprah fans who are like ripping off their heads to get like a free ham?
I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that she had a pair of underwear on under that. And I'm hoping that she didn't go all the way up. But still, it's just like this like totally like graceless, gross moment.
Ben,
like, it could have been funny, but it's just like,
Ben,
this is a woman who peed in a bucket on her wedding
day. That's what
I
was just
going to
say. So it's like, why would you expect any more
from her? She's an animal, okay? She may be very rich. She may be much more successful than I am, but she is also an animal, okay? And I thought the show was ridiculous. She has nothing to say.
Yes, she does. It's funny as hell. I'm sorry, but all it is like slutty, dumb sex stuff. And it's more, you know, interesting than any of those people like Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil.
Well, sure. I'll give you that, I guess.
Yeah, until Karen Sieta becomes a regular on The Doctors.
Look, she has a segment. Waiting. Look, she has a segment, and she walks around with a fishbowl, and she pulls these questions out, and she asks the people in the crowd, and we watch it at work at 3 o'clock, and then we all discuss these things. And yesterday, or maybe, yeah, I think it was yesterday, it goes, if you were at a department store and there was something that you really, really wanted, would you French the sales clerk to get 50% off the item? And, you know, that is a great debate. That is a hot topic.
Yeah, I think it's called I Would Not.
You know that is? If it was like a $500 leather jacket that I could get for $250, yes, I would French that counter person. Okay, I thought that more people would be excited about this. Clearly, I'm the only one going to be watching this show.
Well, if the salesperson were hot and I wanted to, then yeah. But
that's not the point. If they're a dirty troll, you should do it for 50% off.
No.
You're a bad Jew.
No, I think I'm just a good person with standards.
Please call them standards.
Standards. Not to my standards.
One of the funny things, and I'm sorry to go back to this, but one funny thing that Tara and the girls are talking about on Facebook is that Nene called herself white black because she knows how to be hood, but she also knows how to act in a boardroom when she has to be serious. That's so offensive and so fucking rude.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to say.
Madonna says white black makes her gray. Thank you. Very well said, Madonna.
Yes, it does. So far I'm not convinced that I should ever watch this show in my life.
Watch it next week because it looks like the stepkids come in and she tells them off. So that's going to be good. Okay. So quick, we still have two more. We're going to have to speed through them because we've been talking forever. New Atlanta. Anybody watch this?
I saw part of it. I saw probably about 20 minutes. Here's my problem with the New Atlanta. These women, or the ones that I saw, are way too classy. Like I'm not saying they are classy. They're just too classy. Meaning that they have too much, like they were like nicely dressed. They spoke articulately.
Would they be invited over to a cocktail party at Carrie and Duncan's?
Absolutely. And therein lies the problem. These women, this show was boring because we only want to watch trashy people who think that they are glamorous and who've been given money by some quirk in the universe. Okay. These people that we were watching on the New Atlanta, the ones that I saw, they seem more or less, adjusted. They looked. Some of the women looked really good. They didn't look like they had stupid weeds on.
Well, you didn't get to the part, obviously, where that girl with two-toned hair, who is like a princess or whatever, had all her girlfriends to celebrate that she's starting
at
school, that her mom's going to be paying for this whole dinner or whatever, obviously, because this bitch doesn't do anything. And she starts going off about how all she wants in life is to be a trophy wife and to find a man, and he'll be her king. And when he comes home, all she wants to do is get on her knees and give him whatever he wants. She wants to please her man so much. And I was like, bitch. And guess who else? that white Jewish redneck girl. I don't even know her name. She got all offended and started rolling her eyes, and they got in a fight, and then all the
friends... But it was a boring fight. It was like a whatever fight. Here's the thing. That girl saying that's what she wants to do, I actually had no problem with that, because I'm like, if that's what you want to do, if that's the way you want to have, you know, your relationship, fine. But if she starts saying that's the way all women should be, then I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. But if she says that's how the sort of life that she wants... Fine. I'm glad that she owns up to it. You know, just do it. But I hope she doesn't hold herself up as any sort of beacon of feminism.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that kind of lifestyle, but I think it's basically one lazy bitch. It's like her way out. It's like she doesn't even want to fall in love with an actual man. She just wants someone with a lot of money who can pay her bills. It's so gross.
Who doesn't?
So anyway, the best thing, well, I want one I can at least talk to. So my favorite part was this girl named Africa, who's got, first of all, because her name is Africa, and how can you not love that? Because that's crazy, and you know she just, like, made it up herself to look more hood or whatever.
Listen, her mom's a big Toto fan.
She got this big, she has this big, gigantic sideshow bob hair, and she's like, my name is Africa, and I do a lot of things. I'm an actress, I'm a model, people love my hair. That is not a thing that you do. That is not like you're an actor, a singer, and people like your hair. That is not a thing. And she's going to be a star, and this guy on the show is going to make her a star, and he so wants in her pants, and he's not even hiding it. So I don't know about this show, but I love Africa. I think she's going to be fun to mock.
I don't know. I mean, I'll give the show, I'll try to sit down and give the show a better look, because the guys on it are really hot, but it felt a little too upmarket.
I think that they just don't know each other yet, and it's like a season one of a housewife show where nothing happens until it happens, and then you're like, whoa, 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 because already next week I think they're throwing drinks and beating each other up. So,
do we really need this, or can we just have more? What's that other spinoff? What's the Carrie and Quad? What is all that shit? Married to Medicine.
Gross.
That's what I want. I don't care about these other people.
It'll be back.
Okay, by the way, I forgot to bring this up during the gossip section at the beginning of the show, but did you guys talk about the guy from Most Eligible Dallas, Matt Nordgren, on last week's episode?
No.
Dating Lindsay?
He is dating Lindsay Lohan.
Ugh.
Matt was the one who was like the real estate. He was like his dad. It was his dad's company, right?
He's the one that was missing this big chunk of hair like Joe Gorga, but sprayed it on.
Yeah, he's the one who was, like, the ladies' man, but wasn't... Wow, he's dating... Wow.
He was dating that little, like, country bumpkin wannabe singer with a baby, and then he was also kind of dating Courtney, who was his best friend, and then Courtney was supposed to get a spinoff, and then it didn't happen, and I'm really sad because I really liked Courtney, and now he's boning Lolo. Lilo.
Lilo!
Well, I don't know who's in a sadder position.
You know who's in a sadder position? Eat, drink, love. Those bitches don't even get love on this show, and we'll watch anything on Bravo.
You know, things. The thing is,
watching it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a few weeks.
Are you guys not even watching Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles? Because that shit is good.
I am so behind on all my TV. But thankfully, I'm up on my Survivor, and I saw Colton yelling at that girl. That was great.
I'm not doing Survivor this season. I'm done.
I went on a Survivor rant this last week, so I won't do it again. But yeah, Survivor's kind of lame. And I don't watch it enough to know who all those people are who got kicked off. I only know Tina and Colton and the other girl from Colton's season. And I think that's all I even know. So I don't get like the inside references they're making. Like if I can't even mock it, I have no business watching.
When I heard that Rupert was cast, I immediately deleted it from my DVR. Listen up, CBS. Nobody likes him. Only freaks. Tie-dye.
Do we have any other Bravo shows, or are we done here?
Well, if you guys didn't watch Eat, Drink, Love, then we're done.
Is it still on TV?
Yes, it's about to be the season finale at like 5 p.m.
Okay, I'll watch it today. But what's going on with that little Fuku Burger girl?
She got fired from her job.
Good.
And she says it's because her whole team betrayed her and stole all of her ideas and claimed them as her own, which what ideas? I don't know, because...
Fuku Burger was a disaster with or without her.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, Burger. Who wants to eat there? Nobody. You can't take your kids to that place. And she got fired, but then I think she found another job, and then, I don't know, they're fighting over stupid things like dip. But I find it fun, and you get to see a lot of food. And there's a girl named Lindsay who's really skinny, and she's kind of balding, and she's really mean to everybody, and so I kind of like her, too. It's like Balding Girl's Last Stand. Yeah. Okay, are we done?
The Alopecia Chronicles. I think we are done. So anyway, you can find Ronnie.
Alopecia Chronicles.
You can find...
Starring Victoria Gotti and Teresa Giudice.
I know. You can find Ronnie at Trash Tweet TV on Twitter. You can find Matt at Life on the MList. You should really follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/watchforcrapins. We are just a few people away from hitting 2,000 likes. Maybe we've already hit it by the time this is aired. I'm at B-Side Blog. Follow us on all our platforms, please. And leave a review on iTunes. Why not? And you should subscribe to us on iTunes and on SoundCloud and Stitcher. Wherever you want to subscribe, we'll be there for you. So anyway, hold on a second. I think I have someone at the door.
Perfect timing. We'll see you guys. Thank you, everybody, for coming onto our Facebook and chatting. I'm still reading your comments and laughing my ass off. Reading to see. Okay, they say Nini's starting, so we got to go. Whatever. Perfect. Thanks a lot, jerks.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
See you next time.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.